Hey everybody, welcome to Christianity Unfiltered, where we're speaking the truth of God's Word in love. Today we're going to hit a touchy subject that is common to everybody, because we all have to eat, and it has to do with our food and gluttony. Ugh. Yeah, this is a tough one, and please don't think that I'm just picking on you, because a lot of what we're going to talk about tonight, like, I know I myself have been struggling with this personally, and
me too.
really been praying about, you know, God, what do I need to do to get free from food, food addiction? How do I lose weight? And I stumbled across different people that I saw on YouTube talking about gluttony. So we're going to give you our 2 cents worth today about gluttony, about food addiction, what does the Bible say about it, and like, what can we do to adjust our lives so that we're not sinning with food? Because God made our bodies to eat. Mm-hmm. We have to have food to live. Like, we can't live without food, but food shouldn't be our God. Like, it's not supposed to be our idol.
Exactly.
So that's where we really have to watch. I believe that's like our dividing line. Mm-hmm. When is it food to nourish our body?
Yeah.
And when is it food as an idol?
Yep.
That's the tough part.
And eating through emotions too. Mm-hmm. That is tough, because I've realized, like I was sharing with you last night, like when I got clean and off of the drugs and I was set free from that, you know, but, and you see it everywhere, mm-hmm. like with addicts, when you stop using, you go to food. Like, that's your next go-to.
Yeah.
And it for one, is trying to fill that void, okay, when God should be filling that void.
Right.
But you're filling it with food. And even now, like, I'll realize, okay, I'm doing really good on my diet, and then I'll get frustrated or irritated, and I'm like, screw it, and I'll stuff a cookie in my mouth. And it's like, no, why did I do that?
Yes.
You know, and that shows that that thing has control over me.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was sharing with you, I'll read this. This is Galatians 5:6. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So people think it might be extreme when you're talking about food, calling it a sin, but it is.
Yes.
It is sinful to overeat and constantly feeding your flesh and the desires. Mm-hmm. And like when, like dealing with blood pressure, high blood pressure and stuff, like it's either, it comes down to, am I even taking care of myself? Mm-hmm. When I'm sitting here, I should be losing 20 pounds, but instead I'm stuffing my face.
Right.
So it's a constant tug of war. And when something has you bound, like, okay, I need to lose weight for my health,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, I want to look better, I want to be in better shape, but I keep doing something that I don't want to do.
Right.
And that thing has you bound, and it's made you its slave.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just, it's not just food, it's, you know, it's a big deal.
Yeah. I know, like, for me, part of it is, you know, growing up, my family loved me by giving me food.
Yeah.
I would go to my grandma's. Oh, are you hungry? Oh, no. Oh, just sit down.
Yeah.
I'll make you something.
Yep.
Grandma always had cakes, cupcakes, cookies, dessert. I mean, and I would go there like in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And she would serve me like this full course meal. And it's like, I had just eaten at home.
Yeah.
But grandma made it for me. And so, I love grandma's cooking.
Yeah.
And so I ate it.
Yeah.
And the other thing too with it, I know, like for me, I don't know that I've necessarily used food as a, like as an emotional support.
Yeah.
But for me, I noticed that I was competitive in a way about food.
Okay.
This sounds weird.
I'm listening.
I always wanted the biggest and the best and the best looking piece.
Yes, my kids do that. My kids do that.
Because, like, I needed to have that.
Yeah.
That had to be mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then thinking, too, it's like, well, what do you want to eat? Well, what do you feel like? Well, what sounds good?
Mm-hmm.
Flesh, emotions. Like, all of that is all tied up.
Yeah.
And then it's like if you just look around America, you can see the proof of gluttony the sin of just overeating and abusing food.
Yep.
And I've heard different people say here recently too that, you know, part of gluttony, it's not just people overweight.
Yeah.
There are skinny people that struggle with gluttony.
Yep.
And I know the Bible says that our bodies are not our own.
Yep.
We are bought with a price and we are a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I look at, okay, I'm in this quest to lose weight and I see all of these people online that are selling their thing and it's like, oh, they figured this out. And it's like a lot of these people seem to be, because I mean, all you have to do is listen to their little spiel and you can hear that they're not godly people.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, God, if these people that don't serve you, that, you know, have pot mouths, you know, they're not Christians and they can figure out how to lose weight, then why should I not be able to as a child of God?
Right.
Like, my body is supposed to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. I should have my body to look in such a way that it brings glory to you.
Yep.
But what's wrong? And it's like, one of the easiest things that the devil can trap us with is food.
Yeah.
And because of our food, how many people are sick and on medication and have diabetes?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Like you said, have high blood pressure, have heart disease, have all of these problems because of food.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the devil might not be able to trap us with like some of these big things, but boy, it's easy to get trapped with food.
Exactly. And not just in the sense that it attacks your body physically, like concerning your health, but it causes a separation from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about that. Like, okay, we should fast. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus said, when you fast, when you pray, when you give.
Mm-hmm.
So fasting as Christians, that should be a normal part of our life. But if you're so wrapped up in that attachment to food, you're not going to fast.
And
or,
that's me.
Yeah.
And, honestly.
And even, yeah. And even worse, you're not going to, you're going to make excuses not to, you know, like there's churches, oh, some people think we need to fast to get closer to God. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I wouldn't say, but he commands us to do it, you know, and we should be seeking the Lord. And since we're talking about, you know,
is this the one in Numbers?
Yes. Okay. Numbers 11. So I know, like, the Holy Spirit gave this to me last night because I don't even know how I found it, but it is really interesting. All right. So this is shortly after God had delivered them out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, Moses is recent. So the people are complaining to Moses. They're complaining, they're griping because they're not satisfied with the manna.
Right.
Right. And then the people, they say, you know, so they go to Moses, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate in Egypt for free, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And this isn't the first time they mentioned leeks and the garlic either.
Oh, yeah.
But now our life is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Can you imagine? You just got set free from slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just delivered you. He parted the Red Sea for you. He did all these things, all the amazing signs and wonders. And you're saying your life is dried up because you don't have the food that your body desires.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets better.
Not that it needs.
No,
that
it
desires.
Because the manna that he was providing had everything that they needed. You know it did.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So then it goes on. You go, and so Moses, he goes to the Lord, and he's griping and complaining to God, and he's saying, I didn't bear these people, that I didn't nurse them in my bosom, so why do I have to deal with them?
Right.
You know, so he's, and the whole complaining thing, that could be a whole nother, that makes God angry.
Yes.
The ungratefulness. Mm-hmm. So you go on, some stuff happens. Long story short, God says, all right, so he sends the quail. And now a wind from the Lord started up, and it swept quail from the sea and let them fall beside the camp about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side, around the camp and about 2 cubits above the ground. And the people stayed up all night and all day gathering this quail. And those who gathered the least gathered 10 homers. I don't know what that is.
I don't know. It says around less than 50 bushels.
Okay. And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. While the meat was between their teeth, before it was even chewed up, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great slaughter.
Yes.
And he called the name of this place, I don't even know. But and because they were buried, that's where they buried the people who had the craving.
Well, here's what it says in my Bible, okay. In the NLT, the place was called Kibroth Hattaavah, whatever,
yeah.
Which means graves of gluttony.
Oh, wow. Is that what that, is
yeah,
that NLT?
That's the NLT.
Oh,
they were
my
graves
gosh.
Of gluttony.
Ooh, see, that just hit me. I didn't,
yeah.
Mine says where they buried the people who had cravings. So that burnt like
mm-hmm.
that. It, and it says all through this that the Lord's anger burned. Like
yeah.
He was mad. Like you're so ungrateful. And
mm-hmm.
that just goes to show how strong the desire of the flesh can be.
Right.
You know, he just did all these amazing things for you. And you're complaining because you don't have meat.
Yes.
You know, so
yes.
I thought that was really interesting.
That is good. And to see, too, that it was the graves of gluttony.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that is. So, you know, it causes separation from God.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he calls us to fast
right.
and to pray and to seek him.
Right.
And if you're, you know, you can't control yourself enough to fast, then, because
mm-hmm.
I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, when you break a fast, that is the most disappointing meal
yeah.
you will ever eat.
Yeah. See, I have been the type that I have been so addicted, we'll say, to food.
Yeah.
Like so tied to it. Like it is so important to me
mm-hmm.
that I can't even imagine doing, like
yeah.
I've gone 36 hours
yeah.
at the most. But like to think of doing even a 3-day fast, all these fears come
yeah.
into my mind, all this worry.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily about going without food. It's, well, how's my body going to react to this? And what's my body going to do if my blood sugar's low?
Mm.
And how am I going to happen with this? And how am I going to have enough energy?
Yeah.
Like, I just start freaking out
yeah.
about all
Instead
of that.
Instead of trusting God.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for me, the idea of doing a fast, I'm like, I don't want to have anything to do with that because you're taking my food away
yeah.
from me.
I've done it, and I've done 3 or 4 days. I've done 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
But when I break the fast, I eat like a pig, and I hate
yeah.
that. So to yeah. me, it's like, okay. You know, and I've only been able to successfully do like 3 to 4 days when I know it was really spirit led
mm-hmm.
and there was really good fruit out of
you
it.
You have to be spirit led.
Yeah,
really.
There was really good fruit from it. And yeah, and that's the times where I'm like, okay, I know the Holy Spirit was leading me in that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that last week I did a 24-hour fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to do another one 3 days later, and I broke around like 7 p.m. And
yeah.
I was so, I mean, the conviction.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to set aside this 24
mm-hmm.
hours for you and seek you on this subject.
Mm-hmm.
And then you break it. It's like,
yeah.
so disappointing.
Yeah. And while we're kind of talking about that, just that disappointment, this is out of Romans, and it's chapter 14, verse 23. And it says, if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you're not following your convictions.
Yep.
If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning.
Man.
So, I mean, even just like if you've been praying and seeking God, like, how do I lose this weight?
Yeah.
Like, how do I get control over this? And you believe, and believe me, I'm saying this from myself, yeah. like my own experience. And you believe that, okay, the Holy Spirit has given you this plan, or he's told you certain things to eat or not to eat. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have that list of stuff or you have that plan and you don't obey it,
yeah.
that's what it's saying.
Yeah.
You're sinning
against God.
And it's not God saying, okay, well, you shouldn't have this food and you can't have that food. Well, I mean, he did that for the Israelites when it came to the kosher and non-kosher and what yeah. was clean and what wasn't. But with the new covenant, he did say that all foods were considered mm-hmm. clean. Mm-hmm. But still, like, if you know that, like, for me personally, as I've gotten older, I can't eat pork. It upsets my stomach.
Yeah.
So God's showing me, hey, don't eat that. Mm-hmm. Dairy. He's like, you know it's going to make your stomach hurt. Don't eat it.
Yeah.
And if I'm dumb enough to ignore that and then just go ahead and do it, according to this, I'm sinning.
Yeah, and this is what Paul says in Corinthians. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Right. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Mm-hmm. So if he's leading you to, okay, you know you shouldn't be putting this in your body, and you continue to do it,
right?
You know?
Right.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should, is exactly. what I'm saying.
Exactly. And two, I know it's talking about like necessarily specifically what you eat, but then there also comes the point like, okay, you're maybe at a party or someplace and yeah. there's food around you.
Yeah, that's where I always screw up.
I know, I do too. And it's like, you're physically not hungry, but the food is there in front of you, and it's like, oh, I just have to eat it.
I'm gonna miss out on it.
Exactly.
That's where my mind goes.
That's where mine goes
too. I can't miss
too.
Out on this right
yes.
now.
And to me, that is saying, okay, this is a god.
Yep.
This is an idol.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't say no to that, mm-hmm. you have made that an idol in your life.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't obey God, because the Holy Spirit is, he's telling us on the inside, hey, you're not hungry. Hey, you don't need to eat.
Yeah.
Or if you've been eating and you want to go back for seconds, but your stomach's like, oh, dude, I'm done. The Holy Spirit in your belly is telling you, stop eating.
Yeah.
But you're disobeying if you continue then to eat.
Yeah.
And even, I mean, I'm being totally transparent tonight. Like, even when I'm eating like a meal at home and it's something that's really good, mm-hmm. like my stomach will be telling me, dude, you
Stop.
Are done.
Yeah.
But it's just my tongue's like, but I need another bite.
You know.
I need to have that perfect bite. I need that perfect feeling. It tastes so good. I have to keep going.
Yeah.
That is so letting the flesh
yep.
take over.
Absolutely.
And that's where we get into sin.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I've been struggling with the same things. Mm-hmm. And it's like eating what I don't want to eat, breaking mm-hmm. diets, breaking, you know, I don't break fast very often, but I did. And that's upsetting. And it's like something that I have been struggling with. But you bringing this topic, it's like, mm-hmm. whoa, now my eyes are really opening up. To the fact that it's not just not good for me, I'm not letting myself down, but
right.
I'm sinning because it is a sin.
Mm-hmm. As you say, and unfortunately, food is everywhere.
Yeah.
As I was saying earlier, like, it's all over TV.
Yeah.
It's everywhere you go. It's all over billboards, and it's all in our church.
Yep.
I mean, not just ours in particular. Like, we to get together, to fellowship.
What do you do as a Christian?
We eat.
You eat. I know, that's what I was
you
telling
people
Brandon.
You have come to your house, you feed them.
Yep. Can't yeah. be hospitable without food.
Exactly. But what if
I know.
We would not?
I know, and it's something that's totally socially acceptable.
Yes.
You know, and then I was thinking also, like being told growing up, like finish your plate, clean
yes.
your plate. Come, like, no, if a child is full, and since I had I read that somewhere a while back. So since then, I mm-hmm. don't do that to my kids.
I
because
haven't been much either.
That's really, that is toxic.
Well,
when they're saying, Mom, I'm full, but you're
exactly.
like, no, you're going to eat this.
And you're teaching them to overeat.
To overeat, yeah.
And I know I've been thinking about that lately too, myself. Mm-hmm. And I have tried over the years to not do that to my kids very
yeah.
often. And just even recently, the Holy Spirit's been dealing with me about that with them.
Yeah.
You know, if the boys are done and they say, I'm done, I can't eat anymore, just let it go.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's just food.
Yep.
So you're protecting them in that way.
Yeah, and what you said about food being a treat when you went to Grant, like, and I do that a lot, like, it's a cheaper way to treat your kids. Let's have something sweet. Let's have something
sugar.
You know? Yeah.
Oh. I call sugar the gateway drug.
Yeah.
Because really, it is mood altering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what drugs do. What they're altering your mood. They're altering your physical, your mind.
Yep.
And it does. It upsets me. Like, literally, I'm the only teacher that I know of in my school, especially in my hallway, that does not give out sugar for rewards.
Yeah.
And my kids will be like, Mrs. Conaway, can't we just have it? No.
Yeah.
I don't give out sugar. I refuse to. And like at home, I haven't baked much because if I baked all the time, like, I would be the one to eat it.
Yeah. That's my issue too. Yeah.
It's tough. I know you got something. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's just, so it's a sin.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're bound by a sin, you can get free from it.
Yes.
And that's my thing. So Jesus came to set us free.
Amen.
He will set us free from this. And, it says in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. So it says it shall not have dominion over you.
And shall is supposedly the strongest word in the English language.
Yes. So, and then, you know, and you go up a few verses, 6 verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. So when you have a command like that, to me, that automatically tells me that we have the power to not do that thing.
Exactly.
You know, because God would never give you something that you can't do.
Right. And he doesn't allow you to be in a temptation where he doesn't give you a way out.
Exactly. So
and with food, the temptation is that craving.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that sounds really good. Oh my gosh, I need a piece of chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to have that piece of pizza. Oh, I need to have that drink of pop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all know. Yep. Like, you get that piece of food or that type of food on your mind and you're not satisfied until you get it.
Yeah.
That's what temptation is.
I can definitely affirm that. Because when it comes to, I mean, and now it's like looking at the whole topic, it's like you can really apply it as the same as a drug having you bound to this thing, you know? And it's like, you're not going to be happy until you get that thing that you want.
Right.
And it's not that severe, but it is.
Right. And I'm glad you picked on Romans 6 because this is where I have been meditating a lot lately. And the title of it is Sin's Power is Broken. And I'm just going to start in verse 1 and I'm going to go through some of this.
It's all so good.
It is. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Should we keep on eating and gorging ourselves on food so that he can keep showing us more of his grace? Of course not. Since we have died to food and sin, how can we continue to live in it or keep eating like that?
Yeah.
Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ in baptism, you were joined in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. I'll keep going. Verse 5. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised in his life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin and food might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to food.
Amen.
Sin.
Yeah.
But I was...
You could put any sin
I've
right
really
in there.
I've really been thinking about that lately. Can I walk past a piece of pizza and say no? Can I say no to that piece of birthday cake that I love? Can I say no to that tuna casserole that was sitting there that I really like because it's comfort food?
Yeah.
Can I say no to those things? That's how we know. If you can say no, that's how you know that you are no longer a slave to food and sin.
Oh, wow, that's really good.
For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know that we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death, food, and sin no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin and food. But now he lives, or now that he lives for the glory of God. So you should also consider yourself to be dead to the power of food and sin, and alive unto God through Christ. Now you already read this, but this is how I read this one, verse 12.
Yeah, this is good.
And don't let food control the way you live.
Yeah.
That is, okay, when am I gonna have my next meal? Ooh, when am I gonna get a snack? It's only been like an hour or so since I eat. What am I gonna eat the next thing? Yep. Oh my gosh, what am I gonna have for dinner tonight? What am I gonna have for lunch? What am I gonna do tomorrow? That is letting food control the way we live.
Yep.
Going out of the way to that fast food place because, oh my gosh, it just sounds so good. I need a Chick-fil-A sandwich right now. Oh my gosh, and the big old sweet tea.
Yes.
That's my kid's weakness. Yeah. Brody would be Cane's, but I heard somebody say too, gluttony can, or it leads to poverty.
Yes.
Because of one, think about it, when you gorge yourself on food, you feel fat and lazy and miserable and tired, and you're just like, I can't move.
Yeah.
And then, because you're going out and buying things that you don't really need to have,
you're
and you don't need to
money.
Eat.
Yep.
Exactly. Good night. Looking back on our tax information, like all the money that we spent, we have spent thousands and thousands of dollars on food.
Honestly, I know that is a big deal
it's
in
ridiculous.
Our budget too, especially with Brandon. I love him, but he's always, we could just get wings tonight. And then that means I don't have to cook.
I know.
So I'm all for it. Even if I'm doing good, he's like, but you know, let's just do this. And then I don't got to cook.
I know.
And I give in.
My husband does the same
just
thing.
Just real quick, the proverb that says, do not carouse with drunkards or feast with gluttons, for they are on their way to poverty, and too much sleep clothes them in rags.
So that
affirms that.
All right. So then verse 13, it says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of sin. Don't let your mouth, your tongue, your teeth, your taste buds, your salivary glands become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give your entire mouth and body completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. For food is no longer your master. Sin is no longer your master.
Yep.
For you no longer live under the requirements of the law.
Amen.
That is how I meditate this scripture.
That's really good.
Because this is life.
Yep.
This is how we break the power of sin. I don't care what kind of sin it is.
Oh, I know. This is where I've been. Like, this is because my heart, I minister to people that were in the same place I was when it comes to addiction or alcohol or poverty. And I live in Romans 6, like you see.
Yes.
It's like one of the most marked up pages in my Bible. I live there. But to apply it in that manner, that's that really hits me. Because.
Yes.
That's good. That's
and
real
then,
good.
I know I was talking about how food, well, gluttony leads to poverty.
Yeah.
And then I had found this verse several years ago. I know I shared it with you. It's Isaiah 55:2.
Yeah.
And it says, why spend your money on food that doesn't give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Mm-hmm. All the fast food.
Yeah.
All the out to eats.
Yep.
All the pizzas, all the wings, all the sweets, all the candies, all of the junk.
Processed food.
Yes. All of that does our body no good. It gives us no strength. And if you think about going to your grocery store, around your perimeter is your healthiest food. It's the most expensive. Your vegetables, your fruits, those are the most expensive.
And that's what's crazy, is that that's the most expensive.
Because that's what God created for us to eat to begin with.
Yeah.
And then everything in the middle, if it's in a package or a box or a can, it's garbage.
Yeah.
It really is. I don't care if it says that it's organic or whatever. Like,
I don't believe
to,
that organic label. Because you read the ingredients and it's a mile long.
Yeah.
How's that organic?
No. No, if it has to be put into a container to keep it fresh.
Preservatives.
It's not good for you.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the cheapest stuff.
Yeah.
And when people are on a fixed income, when they're low income, when they're poverty, when they're on welfare, That's the cheapest stuff to go
to. And I've even shared that with you. That is the cheapest thing to feed five kids in my house.
Yes, it is. Pasta.
And it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I've started cutting things out slowly but surely, and I've started shopping at different places.
Right. And then the last part of that verse says, listen to me. This is, I believe, God and the Holy Spirit speaking. And you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest foods. Mm-hmm. So if we would just... I know I've been trying to put this into practice often and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what do I need to eat today?
Yeah.
What do you want me to have for breakfast? What should I eat for lunch? What should I do for dinner? Mm-hmm. And just taking a couple moments to listen to him.
Yeah.
He always tells me what's best to eat.
Yep.
And it didn't hurt anything. All I had to do was just stop and listen.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of being obedient. Because like that scripture I shared at the beginning, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, and you won't be doing what is sinful, what your sinful nature desires and craves. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's a big deal.
Yep. And I know even back in Paul's day, he would talk about food, because there was, you had the Jewish people that became Christians that grew up under the law.
Yep.
And then you have these people that were Gentiles and heathens that became Christians that ate anything that was sacrificed to an idol.
Yeah.
And that's just what they grew up with.
Yep.
So those foods were acceptable, where to the Christians that were Jews, those things were detestable. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about how we really have to keep in mind like what we're eating.
Yeah.
So that we don't offend other people.
Yep.
And cause them to stumble or cause them to sin. And this James, he reiterates the one verse that I had. Remember, it's a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it.
Yeah.
And then I want to read this from 1 Peter.
Okay.
This is about self-control. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. He says, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. That's probably one of the hardest things to do when we're eating.
It is.
Is to exercise self-control.
It's when to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only just when to stop, but make the right choices.
Yeah.
That's the other hard thing. Because, I mean, I'm just thinking like with PMS, like you're craving certain things. Like you have to have it.
Yep.
But even in those moments, we can take control of that situation.
Yeah.
Because we can take those thoughts captive.
Exactly.
And make them obedient to the word. But put your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. Mm-hmm. You didn't know any better then. So I would say to those of you that are hearing about this for the first time today, if this is like really ministering to you and like really hitting you, you're like, oh my gosh, like I need to fix and change the way that I eat.
Yeah.
When you get that victory over this area, the Bible tells us don't slip back into those old ways of living, those old ways of eating to satisfy your flesh. You didn't know any better before. But verse 15 says, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy.
Amen.
But that's the thing. Like once we learn this, once we get victory and freedom from this, we can't just say, oh, well, I can just have a bite of this.
Yeah.
Oh, I can just have a taste of that.
Yeah. And that's just like going back in addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you can't dibble and dabble.
No.
You can't. When God has set you free from something, you have to steer clear from that thing.
Right.
Completely and totally stay away from it. Mm-hmm. So we approach this like any sin, you know.
Exactly.
And greater is he who lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Than he that's in the world.
Amen. And you put on, okay, so this is in Colossians. This is something I've been meditating on a different level. But you could even apply it here. It says in Colossians 3:10, put on your new nature, and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him.
Mm-hmm.
So you're becoming more and more like Him. How do you defeat any sin? The renewing of the mind.
Right.
You know, and staying in constant contact with the Holy Spirit that's within you.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you know, that's the way out. You know, becoming more and more like Him, meditating on your word, letting it change you.
Yes.
Not just saying, oh, it's just food. I could just have this piece of cake tonight, because that's where my mind is always at with it. Like, it's just food.
Right.
It's not, but it is a big deal, especially if you're battling like health issues and things in your body.
Right.
You're choosing to allow something to hurt you, you know?
You talking about just like having... Or changing your thought, thinking.
Yeah.
So Romans 1 and 2 from the Message. I love this, the way it says it, because it says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. So even like if you think about the world around you, if they're all eating and they're gorging themselves in food, like we're not supposed to fit into that.
Exactly. That's good.
We're supposed to stand out from that.
Yeah.
Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out.
Yeah.
Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity
in
you.
That's good. That's really
good. I love that version
of that. I love
that
too. That's good.
All right.
It's a lot to think about.
Yes, it is. And, you know, it is tough when it comes to food.
Yeah.
Because as I was saying in the beginning, like, we have to have food to live.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need it for. Like, God created it to nourish our bodies so that we have the energy and the strength to do what we need to do.
Yeah.
But then there comes a point where we have to recognize, one, am I fueling my body or am I just filling a hole with junk?
Yeah.
Am I actually ready to eat? Like, do I need to eat right now? Or am I doing it because I'm bored? Or I'm sad? Or I'm upset? Or there's a problem?
Yeah.
You know, why are we eating?
Yeah.
Am I satisfied? Can I stop now? Or do I have to keep going because I haven't gotten that perfect bite yet?
Right.
Or it tastes so good and I just can't stop.
Yeah.
That's where we need to start looking. And I mean, again, as I've said all day today, like, I'm being transparent because this is something that I'm dealing with and I'm working my way through it. And I had to realize too that gluttony is a spirit.
Yeah.
And I saw a picture that somebody had put online of what they saw gluttony as a spirit. And it reminded me of Jabba the Hutt.
I don't know what that
is. Okay, so you're too young. Okay, so in the beginning Star Wars movies, there was Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
And in that, there was this big, huge, just morbidly obese creature called Jabba the Hutt.
Mm.
And he would like eat all the time, and he had Princess Leia chained to him.
Yeah.
Like she was his little slave.
Ew.
And he was disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've been, ever since I saw that one picture, it's just reminded me of Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, it's time for me to put a knife to the throat of gluttony in my life.
Yeah.
It's time for me to say, you're not going to control my life anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do. Like, when we recognize these sins in our life, we have to address them head on.
Yep.
If you just so happen to figure out like what spirit it is that's driving it, like you have to
attack that thing.
Yes. And you have to take authority over it and you have to repent of your involvement in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to send it out of your life.
Yeah, like with any sin.
Yes. Because the Bible says in 1 Peter that if we submit to God, we arrange ourselves under Him, we obey Him, we do what He's told us to do, we try our best to live the holy life He's called us to, then when we resist the devil, He will flee from us because he's scared to death.
Yep. If you're in obedience, yep.
Yes. So if you are struggling with that food addiction, and maybe it's anorexia, maybe it's bulimia, it's still that spirit of gluttony tied to that.
Yeah.
Especially with the bulimia, just like medicating yourself and taking care of yourself with like trying to fill that hole, that pain with the food.
Yeah.
God wants to be there to take care of that. He's the one that you need to be giving that pain and that hole to.
Amen.
But now that you recognize, oh, maybe I have been rather gluttonous.
Yeah.
I mean, we joke about it.
Yeah.
But it's a sin in God's eyes.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're here to do. Like, we're here to call this sin out because we're supposed to be free.
Yeah.
The Bible says that whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Amen.
And let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen. And if I got free from everything I got free from, I'm not going to be bound by nothing.
Exactly.
You know?
And it does. It's a process. And when it talks about God's taking us from glory to glory and he's producing maturity in us, if we will continue to go after him and seek him, he'll show us these areas in our life that are tripping us up that we need to deal with. And for me, it's food.
Amen.
It's something I've dealt with my entire life.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why have I always been chubby? Because I've always made food the God.
Yeah.
I've always sought after that first. Make sure I say that right. Come out weird.
Well, I think the transparency is awesome because you can't help get someone else free. I mean, you can, but it's generally when you deal with something yourself, you have the keys to get someone else set free.
Right.
And it needs talked about.
Yes.
So.
All right. Do you have anything else that you want to hit tonight?
I don't.
I just want to double check. All right. I think I hit most of the verses that I wanted to tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight, whichever. Last thing I want to hit, this is Galatians 5, 22 to 25. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives.
Amen.
So if we do truly want to have freedom from this, we have to take our physical food desires and passions and nail those to the cross of Christ.
Yep.
And we have to recognize that those are dead to us.
Yeah. And we've already been set free for it.
Exactly.
He's already paid the price for us to be free.
Amen. And then in Romans 8, it talks so much about living by sin is death, but living by the Spirit is life.
Yeah.
So if we continue to listen to our flesh and we continue to eat these foods that we know aren't right for us, we know it's in excess, it leads to death.
Yep.
But if we will listen to the Holy Spirit and if we'll follow his leading on how to eat, when to eat, what to eat, that leads us to life.
Yep.
So.
All right.
All right. We'll pray here.
Okay. Let's pray.
All right. I just want to pray for those of you that are struggling with food addiction, struggling with this. Again, maybe your eyes have just been open to this and you're like, wow, you know, I really have been struggling with this for a really long time. I want to pray for you tonight to get set free. While I'm praying, I just want you to stretch your hands out towards your screen. You can touch your screen if you want to. But think of this as a point of contact for freedom and deliverance. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now. And Father, we just lift up those who are listening to this broadcast, whenever it is, Father, who are struggling with food addictions, with food problems, with just overeating, with sugar addictions, Father, whatever it is where they have placed food in an unholy, unhealthy place in their life. Father, we just speak to those addictions right now. We speak to the spirit of gluttony. Mm-hmm. We bind it, we put a knife to its throat, and we command mm-hmm. it to leave these people's lives now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father, may they be set free because of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would lead them and guide them forward from this day.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, show them the areas that they need to fix. Show them the areas that need to be adjusted. It might just be something simple. But Father, I thank you that your grace yes. is more than enough for them to overcome, because you have made us overcomers, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Amen.
So Father, as we submit to you right now, we resist the devil, we resist gluttony, we resist these temptations in Jesus' name, and we command them to flee in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Because whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Amen.
And if you're free today, say so.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And if there's anybody who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you want to make that commitment today and be led by His Holy Spirit, His precious Holy Spirit, you know, it says, that He's not willing that any should perish. Mm-hmm. So you can make that commitment right now, and it could be the first day of the rest of your life.
Yes.
And you can be led by His Holy Spirit on every decision that you make mm-hmm. concerning any sin that has you bound.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to make that commitment, just repeat this prayer mm-hmm. after me. Lord, I thank you that you have sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe that He walked the earth in the flesh, and that He is your Son. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to come into my heart and to be Lord over my life, mm-hmm. and to send your precious Holy Spirit to live within me, to lead me, to guide me, and to direct me mm-hmm. in all truth. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
So if you prayed that prayer, let us know.
Yes. And two, if you have questions about this with the gluttony, just with food addictions, you know, you can comment to us. We'll try to answer you as best as you can. But I really encourage you, get into your word.
Yes.
And like I showed you how to meditate Romans 6, really get in there, meditate that, make it your own. Every place that it says sin, put food in that place, or put whatever addiction it is that you're struggling with. And then too, go into Romans 8 and really study, what does it mean to be led by the flesh and sin that leads to death? And then what does it mean to be led by the Spirit and be in life? I hope that today really challenged you, and it really gives you something to think about and pray about. I didn't do this because I want to pick on people and I want to take your food away from you, but God doesn't want us to be bound by anything. He wants us to be set free, and that's what we want for you. We want you to be set free in every area of your life. So thank you for joining with us today, and we look forward to talking with you next week.
All right.